I would like to start by saying how joyful I am to not be before a camera. It's really a beautiful thing. You sit in your own room and you have always these online conferences, but you are real people. I hope you are not ghosts. You are not, I know. It is a great pleasure for me to share today with you something which I think will be very useful for you in the immediate practice of singing kirtan. I'm thinking of what we will do at the end of this exercise, at the end of this program, when we do kirtan according to what you learn here. As we are moving on, I must say I forgot one thing which Govinda can bring. First you do your photographing, and when you are finished, you please go to my room. There is a red carry-on bag. I used to fly a lot. And there, towards, you know, on the side of it, is the living name book. If I have placed it there. If it's not, it's somewhere in the mountain of books on my table. Hare Krishna.
Well, you are very...
It's so
wonderful, so I will do it in style. I thank you. You can see everything. We men are not able to see many things.
What to do? So, yes, there are two dimensions in chanting the holy name, an inner dimension and an outer dimension. The outer dimension is something which we see when someone does kirtan. The inner dimension is something which we do not always perceive. The outer dimension is, you know, the singing, the karatal playing, and the use of various other instruments. And at a more elevated state, it gets into dancing ecstatically. There are tears. The voice may break, and the hairs stand on end. It's something which are symptoms of ecstasy, which are reported. But for now, the outer dimension is what is visible, and it is usually referring to the use of instruments and voice. Then there's an inner dimension, that means the right attitude. There are two attitudes which are very good. One is an attitude where you come to the essence, where you take away all the artificial roles and masks which you wear. I could give the example of taking an onion and peeling the, let us say, brown and dry parts away so that you get to the soft parts. In the same way, in kirtan, a lot of peeling goes on, where we remove the hard shells of the ego. Sometimes it may be painful. We may see, wow, there's still so much room for improvement. I need to do so much more inner work. And it can be a little painful. It can be a little painful. But if you want to come to that spiritual dimension of kirtan, you will not avoid this discomfort, but you will allow it to happen and go through it to come to the essence. I would like to share with you something which really, where I really saw how peeling the external layers can be difficult. I was once in Zurich, flying from the Zurich airport. There was a Swiss man before me. I think he flew maybe for the first time, by his behavior at least, I thought so. So he enters the security control and he gives his hand luggage on the conveyor belt for the X-ray to see if there's anything in, and then he goes through the barrier where they see if you have any metallic item on you, and the thing goes doot 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 doot, and the man waves him from the line and says, you have any metal? And he's all upset already. No. And then the man goes to find the metal because the signal was there, and he finds a mobile telephone. You have to put this in a small box and let it go also through the X-ray machine. You have to give everything. And he protests. You can say, all my contacts are on the mobile telephone. I cannot. My whole life is in the mobile telephone. You know. How can I separate this from me? You know. And he really is upset about it. And it's clear, by the way he acts, he's not a criminal who tries to somehow get it through because inside is a super bomb, small bomb. No, no, he's just totally aggrieved. And we all, like the other, I'm behind him and say, it's not so bad, you get it back. He looks at me, yeah, but you are a monk. You are already renounced. I'm not. And he's totally aggrieved. I well, what to do? Yes, but have a minute and you will get it back. And he's not, he cannot be pacified. I'm telling him, maybe, I tell the people, maybe you need to get a psychologist here to help this man, the one, you know, the officials there. And as I don't know what happened to the man, I continued with my travels, because I really couldn't help him. And but as I was then going to my flight gate, I was thinking about it. Most people are so focused on the external aspects of their life, which are depicted in the mobile telephone, the contacts, the notes, the files, the everything they have, that they feel really without a mobile telephone, they are not complete. So as much as we may laugh about the person from Switzerland who could not imagine a life, even half a minute life, without the mobile telephone, as much as we will laugh, we might still be in the same boat with him. And therefore, it's worthy to do at times a meditation, who am I when everything that is not me falls away? Who am I when everything that is not me falls away? In old traditions, monks who would enter the monastery would help themselves by shaving their head and taking either to shaved or very short like us, having a seeker this is a seeker, it's a tuft of hair, which reminds us that we are devoted to the One with the many names. They would dress in new garments, and also ladies, you see, we try to put on devotional cloth to really make a step away from our constructed identity. You know, whatever we are in this world is a construction only. You know Lego? You put one on the other, and then you have a construction. So in the same way, we build up certain things about ourselves. I am this. Even when we enter spiritual life, it could happen that we identify. I am a Swami, I am an author of books, I am a blah, 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 and could all put our labels together. But in Kirtan, we want to deconstruct. It's almost like when I want to dye a piece of cloth. Dye means in Deutsch färben, you know. I might have to first remove the old color in order to really give it a nice bright other color. So one of our spiritual masters used to say, before construction comes deconstruction. Wow. It sounds serious, isn't it? No? It's no longer the, oh, let me get the new spiritual outfit, you know. Where do I get it? Calvin Klein, of course. They have a new spiritual branch, you know. No, we try to find out, who am I when everything that is not me is removed? It's a good question. And the way we do this without a complex meditation is we come into a certain attitude. It's humility. Have you ever noted when you deal here with devotees? I mean, there are various devotees on various levels, but when you see the older devotees, they usually have a sense of humility. You can talk with them. They are normal. I was thinking today, there is amongst all of us, each day in the morning, there is a very, very advanced devotee. And his name is, I can give you the name, Hriday Chaitanya. He came here when there was nothing. And he really developed all this. He built the houses with his own hands. And you will see him every morning doing simple temple services when it comes to moving from the place where Srila Prabhupada is respectfully seated and back to the altar. It will be him who grabs the microphone and who pulls it, brings it in front. And because devotees or spiritualists in general do not like to build up another layer, put other onion layers around them. They just don't want to do this. Even when you see them, so to say, having done many things, they will not identify with this. They will not say, I was doing this. And they will go into a humble state of mind. Or you could say, peeling away what is not them. Like, if the Swiss person would have known this art, then it would not have been so traumatic to go through to go without his mobile telephone for him. He would just do as it is done here, and you know, he would. So there are two dimensions, the outer dimension and the inner dimension. And the inner dimension is really very, very important. Only when you don't have so much layers around you, only when the ego has not placed so many coverings over your soul will it be easy for you to enter into the dimensions of kirtans. Therefore, my dear students, please don't be shocked when doing the kirtan in the evening, when it goes a little long, when you do feel a little discomfort sometimes. It's not the soul who feels the discomfort, it's the mind and the ego who feels the discomfort. We all have experienced this and we survived it so far. But it is a wanted, a desired peeling which goes on. It brings us to the essence, to the true self, not the labels which we have put around them. If a spiritual path does not bring people away from the ego, but conversely inflates the ego with more air. I'm really an accomplished yogi. Look at my particular muscle around my lower hand. You know, it is very developed from my handstands, you know, and so on. Then you know he will suffer misery, because there's someone who has more developed muscles. There's someone who is more and who is even identified with this. A person who is not in false identification, a person who is humble, he will suffer no misery. There was once a devotee, his name was Ekanath. And he lived at a place, and he always used to pass another house where there were professional players. They played, I forgot, was it dice or with cards? These players saw this Ekanath. He was the last one to go to bed because he would do his kirtan and singing in his hut. And he was so early up, the drunkard, the players were sleeping. And finally they got so annoyed that they said, "This Ekanath is a cheater. We will show how he is a cheater. He pretends to be an advanced soul, but in actuality he must have a massive ego." So one of the drinkers, he was sitting himself the next morning. He was climbing a house and sitting on the roof. They have flat roofs often. And when Ekanath came from the river after he had just taken his morning bath and had dressed in fresh clothes, this drinker, who was chewing pan, it makes your saliva very red. You see it in India on the streets. Obviously, this red spot, it means people have spit out. You know, so it's slightly up, it's like nicotine, which can. Don't know exactly what nicotine does, but it lightens the spirit in a little bit. It's not the spirit, the mood, you know, it makes you, I don't know, it does something. What does nicotine do to you? Something, no?
Makes more awakened, kind of.
More awakened, maybe, yes. So it's something like this, a slight intoxication. Raises the blood pressure, lows, yes, so that you're not so stressed. Yes, yes, you calm down. Yes, I remember. I have not, by Krishna's mercy, I have not spoken. Oh no, I smoked self-rolled cigarettes. That was an type of identification I thought I needed to be cool. But not very long. Minimal. Yes. So he is coming, all fresh and clean, and he goes, it spits him on the thing. So Ekanath just turns around, goes to the river, takes a new bath. He comes back, and the man from up goes again, I don't want to do it, you know. And then hides behind the roof. And he gets a full, half a cup full on him. He turns around and goes back to the river to take a turn. Again, repeat his bathing. This repeats itself until the man is dry in his mouth. No more saliva comes. And he asks Ekanath, I'm sorry, it was me. I'm here on the roof. Hello. How could you just remain so composed? And Ekanath said, you're not... First of all, you do not hit me with this. It's not affecting me at all, because it affects my garments and my body. But I'm not my garments, and I'm also not my body. I use my garments, and I use the body. But I chant. Life is very blissful. You're not spitting on me. You're spitting on the body, on the garment, and on your own character. And he goes... I'm spitting on my own character. And my own character becomes spotty by this. He's right. He's so damned right. You know, and he has a turn of mind. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you can act like this when you have stopped to identify with the false identifications, the false ego. And that is a goal for those who do kirtan, because then the connection about which we spoke, the connection of the purified self with the supreme self, is much more effective. Much more effective. There's nothing in between, if you so want. No? If you have a conduct, you know, this wire which conducts electricity. There's no gummy in between. There's nothing in between. It can go easily through. So if you chant without an inflated ego, there's nothing to stop the current. Fine. This just as a beginning, this just as something which is really stressed in the art of kirtan. It's really talked about. It is an inner orientation. Humility here does not refer to what we would call a minority complex. No, it requires a stronger person to be humble than a person who immediately reacts and punishes others and so on. I'm reminded of Gandhi's statement, to be non-violent takes more courage than to be violent. No? So to be humble takes more of us. No? It's a school. It's a school of purification, really. Having said this, I would now like to go directly into the practice of kirtan. I will give you a little technique where you can align body, mind, and heart to what you do, so that there is an increased effect. But first of all, I would like to introduce kirtan from a traditional perspective for you. It is called in Sanskrit an upaya. Upaya is a means. Means. Like a vehicle is a means that carries you from A to B. A bicycle, for instance, a car, or an airplane, is just a means that carries you and brings you to a goal. In the same way, kirtan, as a spiritual practice, is an upaya, a vehicle, a means that brings you. A lot of thought, a lot of discussions is in spiritual circle, in my opinion, sometimes wasted even by talking only about the goal. It's more important often to talk about the means that brings you there. Once a monk came to a very enlightened Swamiji and said, "Swamiji, I'm practicing for so long, but I have not attained any substantial results." And this was someone who was known as a sincere practitioner. This Swamiji was an abbot of a monastery, the head of an ashram, in other words, and he said, "Please come back tomorrow. Your question is so significant that I really need to think about it a little bit and pray for an answer." So the monk returned next morning and he saw this little elderly abbot sitting there. The abbot says, "Across the ocean is a town with golden roofs. This town has streets made of rubies. The people in this town are dressed in costly garments, and they celebrate each day a festival on the marketplace with singing and dancing. They are the best of friends. There is no differentiation between the professions. It's the ultimate town, the golden town." But does this information alone help you? No. The information that at our side of the ocean there is a boat and you can take this boat during the tide and quickly go there if you roar it in the eastern direction. That information, how to get there, is more valuable than to talk only about the goal. You have only studied high philosophy. You have engaged in high contemplations about the truth and its various angles. Is he impersonal and is he light? Is he present in the heart? Is he Krishna? And so on. You have talked about this. The point for you now is to get into the boat, get rid of your baggage. Boat gets heavy when we take the whole house with us. Get rid of your baggage and start to row. This, my dear people, this advice is an advice which each one of you, I request you to contemplate this advice. What is about you? How far have you come in your spiritual life? How much have you obtained a deep absorption? How much are you a lover? How much is your heart open? You have to see that, and you have to then decide upon the means. So here in this kirtan course, I would love to suggest a talk about kirtan as a means, something that brings you forward. And if you wish to study them, if you wish to do the means of kirtan, then you need to know what can you bring to the kirtan to make it an intense kirtan. Now, every human being, and Gaur Krishna will smile at this moment because he knows I have most probably talked about this 1,000 times in the retreats. Every human being has three endowments, three things which are given to you at the time of your birth. It's your body. It is the mind. And it is the heart. And I'm speaking here not of the pump. I'm speaking here also not so much of the emotions. You know, we have an emotional heart. When they say in Italia, amore, they don't grab here to where the brain is. They go, amore, they touch their heart. It's for us who are born in North Germany, very, we always have to giggle a little bit, and it has to do with us being monks, but amore, they really go like this. I have one contact. Whenever he comes somewhere, he carries before him his big, huge heart. I'm thinking of Amarananda. No? Yeah. He is such a heart as emotion. Do you need anything? You know? Do you have anything? How can I serve you? And it's really, you better give him something. You know, he really has. When he comes as a visitor, he has a whole suitcase. You know, what he uses for himself is a small bag sack, and he has a whole huge thing with gifts, and he doesn't forget your taste. He knows this tea you liked last time. I brought two packages of this. And even we live at a house which we share with a wonderful spiritually oriented family, and there is a small little girl, and she 4 years old, and he always brings a toy for the small little girl, and you know, he almost doesn't fit through the door because he has such a huge heart which he has to carry before him. That would be the emotional heart. A wonderful person, but you need to be prepared. Here comes the man with the heart. You know, he's different than other people. But very nice, very good, sensitive person, educated person. He's not really pestering you. Not at all. So, no, I'm not even speaking of the emotional heart. What I'm speaking of is the lost spiritual heart. These are the three endowments. I will start with the easy ones. The body. When you come to the kirtan, and I will remind you as soon as we will do kirtan, you bring your body with you. In the body, what can it do? It is, as far as those who love kirtan, meant for kirtan. You can sing. You can hear. You have a tongue. You have vocal cords, and you have a tongue which can form sounds. It's amazing. You have a body. You can clap also. You can play instruments, mridanga, harmonium, karatals. There's a lot which you can bring which your body can do in the kirtan. It starts really with sit properly. For now, it's good. When the moment you hear sit properly, you go, it's something in our sit straight. Everyone, even a policeman, when you say these words, I don't know what is the magic of these. It's good. Sit, relax. When we do the practice, then it's necessary. You can sit properly. Why do we say sit properly? Because there is energy going through our body. And when you sit like this, or your shoulders are like this from too much email, contacts, the energy flow gets blocked. That means, in practical terms, you will get more tired, you will get pain, and also you can't breathe. The lung volume is not there. It is squeezed. So sit properly. What you can also do is, this is what I always do, because most of us are active in the front part of our body with the hands. And for this, the shoulders roll like this and squeeze on the lungs. So you can bring your shoulders, this please do with me, up to the ears. You're high, in other words, and then bring them back. Try to almost make your shoulder blades touch. You can do this by just opening your hands like I do. I won't look at you. You can be open. This opens your whole chest. You will start to breathe again. And this means you will be able to chant for a long time, sit for a long time, and then leave it like this. Just rest the hands like this. It's a little unusual in the beginning, but don't worry. And also don't overdo it. But then you can sit for a long time if you train your body to do this. What is very good, and you can ask our Jennifer about it, she will be able to give you a lot of excellent tips how to sit and how to maybe lengthen the muscles which are atrophied and how to sit. I'm not a trained yoga teacher. Jennifer and Ben are, so you can ask them if you have any issue with sitting straight or sitting on the floor. But it's always good to raise, here comes a difficult word, your coccyx. That's where the kangaroo has a longer tail than you have. It's in the back. If that is raised, it will be much, much, much easier for you to sit like this. You will also see negative thoughts will not come and invade you as easily as they come when everything is squeezed. The breathing has a very good influence on the mind also. The proper posture. And if you have difficulties like I had, from sitting, take some guidance how to align your body, that it's easy and pleasant even for you, that you don't have to force yourself. For this, yoga teachers are very happy to give very good information. They deal with this. That's their work, so to say. Then, after sitting properly, we go to the pronunciation of the mantra. For that, we need the vocal cords. It's good if you also don't squeeze them like this, but you sit like this, vocal cords, and the tongue, which vibrates. You can see, I have sung so much, I have a very thick throat. It will be very difficult to hang me because my throat is very very thick, from all the singing. It has become very well circulated. Yes, so that is very, very advantageous. Vocal cords, some improvement needs to be done, but throat is good. Then you pronounce it very nicely, and you hear yourself singing. Very important. Don't just hear the others. You need to make, you know, it's a contemplative practice also. You need to be with yourself. You need to hear your sounds. Therefore, in the Kirtan tradition, it's always said the instruments should not be louder than the singing. And there is, it's nice sometimes for public kirtans to have virtuoso kirtans, but the instruments never should cover the singing or lead away from the singing. So it is a modest instrumentation, which is there. Of course, when we do public kirtans, and the public appreciates good music, we may use virtuosos, you know, really complex music, to help the public to be mentally calm and satisfied. But for the kirtan itself, we want to not have louder instrumentation, and we don't wish to have instrumentation which in a way distracts from the actual kirtan. No? That's on the bodily platform. Now comes the mind. What do you think, I will ask you, should be done with the mind? Not the two of you, you know.
Nothing.
Very good answer. Very good answer. Any answer?
Focus the mind on Krishna.
Focus the mind on Krishna. Mm-hmm. Any others? I'm not saying right or wrong. Everything is right. Kirtan is so open. Yes.
I would say maybe focus on your breathing.
Focus on your breathing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because we know that there's a connection with breathing and the mind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes?
For me, how to focus on the names that I'm pronouncing.
Focusing on the names that I'm pronouncing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what do we do with the mind?
Empty
the mind, yes. Like you have said, nothing. Mm-hmm. Yes, Igor?
I'm thinking present moment and listening. But
yeah. Be there absolutely in the present moment, in the now, and listening to what we are doing.
And like praying inside.
Or even praying inside. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When someone who leads kirtan singing.
Yeah. Listening. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let us hear our two transcendentalists. Mm-hmm. Everything is very nice. It adds to the thing. What do we do? Madhava.
Oh, I was going to say, kind of keep it simple, like be present in each, like each name, each mantra, each mantra you're trying to focus on, each name, like trying to get it nice. And then the second thing I was thinking also is to see that the name and Krishna are non-different and express Krishna. Yeah.
Through the name, yeah. Wonderful. Yes. Yes, Madhava, what do you say?
Well, each and every one of us know our mind spent best. You know, of course, Krishna knows our mind best, but we know our minds. For me personally, I talk to my mind. I tell my mind, my dear mind, I serve you 24 hours a day. Even in my dreams, I serve you. But for the next 2 hours that I'm going to sit, please give me a break. I'm just going to ignore you. Nothing's going to come from you into my heart.
Wonderful.
It's just the name. It's just that sound vibration. That, you know, I just got to focus. And with the sound vibration of the mantra, don't rush the mantra. It's just one mantra at a time.
Yeah.
Put everything that we have in the heart, all the feelings, all the prayers, everything in that mantra. It's just like loading a gun.
Yeah.
And one mantra, you put everything, all the feelings, and then you go to the next mantra.
Yeah.
And the mind knows what's going on. It's not it's 2 hours, it's a long time. Yeah. But, you know, when the mind gets what we're doing, this 2 hours just becomes like, you know,
yeah.
10 minutes. We just lose track of time because the mind gets what we're supposed to do.
Well, we feel enriched, no? It's wonderful, the comment. Thank you, thank you. Thank you.
Us at the last kirtan in the studio, in the yoga studio, mm-hmm. about the elephant and the stick.
Yeah.
The mantra being the stick that the elephant carries and is can be quiet in the, I think it was an Indian market space.
Yeah.
Because Ben always says, you don't get it right when I tell the story. You
know? No, it's like this. The mind is always moving. 24 hours, even in dreams, it's always moving. And in the philosophy, the movements of the minds are described as it accepts certain things as interesting, and it rejects certain things as not interesting. So it moves from left to right. And the analogy which is given, like the trunk of an elephant. I have seen in Loi Bazaar in Vrindavan a big elephant coming through, and the trunk goes like this, like that. Then it comes where the oranges are. It takes an orange and tosses it in the mouth. Then it goes there, and you know. This particular elephant seemed to have been extremely hungry. It was really like creating a chaos in the market. It was grabbing, and you know, it's amazing how much they can eat. And the shop owners were really concerned. I mean, they're poor people. This disappears at this monster belly. The mahout was maybe a little absent-minded, but finally he got it when everyone was screaming about the elephant. And he just took a bamboo stick, he had it with him, he knew, and he gave it to the elephant, and to the trunk. And then the moment it had something to grab on, it became peaceful. And that's the experience which those who have been on kirtan made. The moment the mind focuses on the sound, it doesn't go anywhere, left and right and left and right. It takes practice, but the moment it has the focuses on the sound and is there, time seems to fly by. But if the mind doesn't do it, oh, 1 minute, you see, this index thing, that what is it called, the finger, is it called a finger, or what is it?
Zeiger,
yeah, the pointer, you know, these, there are three. What?
We miss Ben to tell us English.
Yeah. The finger. Yeah. Let us. No, Matt. Isn't the thing? You know, it seems to not move. You think? Should I take my? Should I ask for a mobile telephone to phone it? This is. It apparently is wound up, but it does not move. When the mind is moving. Oh no, how much longer? Oh no, 2 hours is not possible for me. Please, please, please. You know, you have emails to answer. There are many thousand reasons. Yesterday, for a moment, I thought, the days were so intense for me. Now, I'm also an old man now, everyone will understand, you know. Maybe I should just sneak out of the kirtan. Then I thought, but this is a kirtan course. You are supposed to be here. And yes, but so many urgent emails. It can be done after. I had to really argue with the mind, and finally he said, And then I said, no, I don't want you to remain in this space. There's no use when you are in the space. Why don't you sing? And I want to repeat what Madhava says. Why don't you now make your life uncomplicated? See, we are sitting here and we sing one mantra and see what happens. Let us do this. I always compare it with, you know, when you come to a platform of a train, all you have to do is to get into that train when it comes. The rest the train does for you. You get the analogy? All you have to do is to bring yourself somehow into this train. So when you do kirtan, all you have to do is to somehow connect with the mantra. Bas, finished. Your work is completed. Because then the mantra, as I said earlier, can display its quality of being a vehicle. It carries you from A to B. It carries you from this side of the beach to the golden town where you wish to go. But you'd only have to be present-minded. Present, another way to express present-minded, nothing else should go on. Like you said, nothing, or empty the mind, another person said, and so on. And then the mantra will do everything. And as you go on, you will all of a sudden notice that light feeling, and then the third human endowment can be used. That is your heart. You can express things to Krishna. You can pray, or you can envision him, or you can gaze at his beautiful form on the altar. Krishna doesn't mind if you gaze at him. Others might mind if you gaze at them for too long of a time, Krishna not. You can gaze unlimitedly on him, and he might even like it. For sure he will like it. So, and you express something devotionally. My Lord, I was absent, but now I really get the point. I will turn towards you, and so on. But mainly the mind, under all circumstances, should be focused. My spiritual master has said something about this, which is very often quoted. It's a very simple thing. He's very straightforward on this point. You have to chant and hear. Chant with the tongue and hear the sound. That's all. What is the question of the mind? Nothing needs to be done with the mind. Chant and hear. Well, you could say chant and hear requires some focus, but not when he says where's the question of the mind. He thinks no imaginations, no guided meditations, no this and that. Just let the sound do everything. Just let the sound do everything. And I have noted, this is, Madhava spoke of the one mantra. I would like to add something which I have noted. I always put the emphasis on the first Hare. I would like to do this with you. We will speak the mantra. Every one of you knows the mantra, I assume. By now, yes. I would request you all to sit straight now. You can do what you learned about the shoulders, raise them, bring them back. You will see, wow, there's a whole space I've not inhabited up till now. It's called the shoulder space. I'm always inhabiting the chest space. And we will now say the mantra. I will say it one time alone, then I will request you on the signal, here it was, to join me. And then I will give you instructions, but your thing is you should continue. Don't stop. I will talk, but don't stop. It will be easy. You will see what it is. So one time alone, then together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Please continue. Hare Krishna. I will talk to you, but continue, please. I request you to put your entire concentration, full laser-like concentration on the first Hare. Hare, yes. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. A little faster. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Now, again, your full concentration goes to the first Hare. Yes. Krishna. You have to bring more focus. Collect all your mental energy only to one thing, the very first Hare. Now, Hare, yes, but you can focus much more. You give about 20%. We want to increase the percentage. Now, full concentration to the first Hare. Yes, better. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. A little faster, Rama. The first Hare now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. It will soon come again. The first Hare, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. And once again, full focus. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you. Now we will continue to chant, but we will shift all of our focus on each single name. No longer just one name, the first Hare, no. Each single name. Immediately we will try to do it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. More focus. Please, focus on each name. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. And again, one full mantra now. Full focus. Yes. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I know it's almost like and Surya Namaskar intensive training, you know. But my dear listeners, really believe those who have done it. When you can do this during kirtan, the mantra will take you. It's called mantra meditation. It's not silent meditation or objectless meditation. There is such meditation. It has its value and its place also. But this is a mantra meditation where you really train the mind in focusing. And once you have done that work, I think it only needs to be done. In my case, I do it for, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. And then I'm for 2 hours fine. I don't need any longer to do this, admittedly somewhat forced practice. I admit it is somewhat forced in the minute. But it's just like Jenny gave the analogy of the elephant which grabs a stick and then it somehow is only engaged with the stick and no longer steals oranges, bananas, ananas, mangoes. Bags, yes, shoes, anything and everything. No, it stays with you. So that is the art of chanting. Igor, yes.
Just one question.
Yes, please.
What about the sights and the depth? And, you know, like, do you recommend to close the eyes, to open? Sometimes I feel like when I open my eyes, then I get more distractions. So
yeah.
And my mind goes back. And then I like, it's another question, but I like the dancing part as well. Like,
very, very good. Yes, it's a different. See, in the beginning, it may be good. Beginning means of the kirtan, to close the eyes. You will see any spiritualist, if he wants to gather his concentration, he will close his eyes. Even when you see speakers who wish to concentrate, they will close their eyes. No, because that helps. There is a very interesting verse from the dance shastra, the scripture which describes Indian temple dance. It says, where the hand goes of the dancer, the eyes will follow. That's the natural way. So try to concentrate in making this with the eyes. Try to speak something which makes sense. It's not possible. The eyes, the sight is very focused, very much connected with the mind. So therefore you will see many chanting at the with closed eyes. Now, when the concentration and focus is achieved, when they have entered the train, so to say, and the train ride, from there on, there is no prescribed routes. It opens, it sometimes encourages you to see other chanters who chant even more sincerely, and so on. Or you like, or you focus your eyes on the beautiful deities. There is a meditation which I do when my mind is a little bit unwilling in the beginning. I have, it's called the Traktaka meditation. Yogis put it, use it by, you know, they make a dot on the wall, and they you can concentrate on the dot on the wall or the light of a candle or whatever. But the mantra chanters like to just have a mantra sign before them and look at them. Not everyone does it, but I find it very helpful, and for some it, or many even, it does work. I don't have it just here, but others will find other things healthy. Then also dancing. When you dance, did you see the person yesterday dancing, spinning around for a moment? Sorry? Gaura Nataraj. Have you seen his eyes? And he was focused. Have you seen? He was not, it was not show dancing, although it is very artful. He is an educated dancer. He knows Bharatanatyam, and really in depth he knows. But he does this for his own focus on Krishna. He likes to dance. He's a dancer. When you dance, try to make it a joyful atmosphere, but not self-centered. Oh, I'm showing now off, and I hope everyone sees my extreme stylish dancing. Then you are again in the ego, you know. But dance for Krishna's pleasure, or as an expression of joy, or as an expression of devotion. All this can be done very nicely when you have entered the train and the train has started to move and it goes into various landscapes which are all very desirable. But it's all, you first need to enter the train. Otherwise it's not there. Yes?
For me it's a bit difficult to follow this first method you mentioned, just to accent the first Hari.
Yeah.
Because then afterwards there are still some more names to come, and then I'm like, oh no, my mind is
oh, yeah.
When will come that Hari again?
So oh yeah, then you are there, acha, yes. Well, then don't do it.
When I chant, I usually do the other method you mentioned, like
one mantra.
Every name,
yeah, yeah.
That's also difficult,
but it's easier than, yeah. Than, yeah, yeah, because the mind thinks of the future, then, oh, soon it will come. Now, I was thinking, I'm doing this Hari, and for many it does really work very well with the idea of entering the mantra there. Just like you enter the train through a door, when the mind is so restless, at least you have, you need to connect somewhere. But you are from the Nordic countries, I can hear from your pronunciation.
I am from Croatia.
Oh, Croatia, you sound like a Latvia
yeah,
person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you do that, I thought more of just starting somewhere, you know, and the whole mantra itself is a whole, is a feat, you know, it's an achievement. It's a, so when I say the first Hari, my mind says, I can do that, I can easily do it. And then I relax that practice and go to the whole mantra. But really, in chanting, there may be different methods, but stay with what works for you. And you will also see different things work at different times for you. But stay with what works for you. This is very important. I will want to tell you what I do nowadays. It's not even in the book. I like to continuously deepen my knowledge about mantra, and I find a lot of wisdom texts and teaching me something new. Now, the newest thing I saw, and it fits now, we have talked about aligning the physical body to chanting. We have talked, about aligning our mind by focusing, being present, and all this, what we said. Now, the heart. Have you ever heard chant from your heart? They say that because what you don't engage in Krishna's, in the kirtan, will be engaged differently. You know, you want to bind everything what you got to the kirtan, and the heart is very, very, very important to do this. So what you can do is a technique which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced. He is known to have chanted on his Japamala from morning to night. He sat at one place doing this. He did not eat, interrupt his chanting, and he did this for months on end. He ate either in the evening a little, you know, to keep his bodily function working. So he is a really accomplished Namvrati, a person who chants the name. He used to say when he opened his movement that the minimum of japa, this should be 64 rounds a day for all those who lived in the monastery. You can see his standard is extremely high. So the little bit of wisdom on the practice of chanting which he gives is this. It is from a person on a very high level. The language may be very high and unrelatable, but you are sincere practitioners. You now need to listen. You will learn something new. Keep the perfection of chanting a mantra is achieved when you keep the vibration of the mantra in your heart. You bring it there. Almost like you might take a ball and bring it under water and keep it there under the water. You keep the vibration vibrating in your heart. And then, this is only the first part, then you control the materially attached mind. What does this mean? It means that the mind will wander again, like the trunk of the elephant. It will wander and grab on to something material. It happens. You all of a sudden, boom, you see a scene from a movie you have seen when you were a little boy or a little girl. The mind, anything the mind will say, it grabs on. Like that elephant, no? But you control the mind which grabs or becomes attached to something, and you just bring it back into that heart space. I would like to give you an experience of this and therefore like to guide you into something, but let us see. Oh, we are, time is flying by. What is happening with our time here? Let me see, are there any questions before we do the practice? In the practice, I will request you to sit up tall. No, not yet. I will give you a sign. Then I will just tune you in. It will be one minute. It will not be. But the main thing is I will try to open a space in your heart where you can keep the mantra. Try. So let us see. Any questions you have? Yes, Madhava.
I just wanted to add something, you know, about what Benedict said about closing the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned, you know, when we close the eyes, all the distraction of this place. But then, you know, it opens the spiritual sense of eyes found in the heart. It's the same, like, you know, we hear the mantra with physical ears. And then it goes to the spiritual sets of ears that needs to be developed in the heart. So it's all spiritualized. It's the eyes inside the heart. It's the ears inside the heart. And then the mantra, when we hear and sing Krishna within the heart, then the heart space, the mantra is in the heart space.
It's wonderful. No. Why? It is very good if you contribute. Yes, it is. It is really true. When you focus inwardly, all the senses, it is said, are there in a subtle form, in a more refined form, and they are opening in the heart. No. I do remember on this because I like to share also with Madhava, I was going, when I went for pilgrimage to Gangotri, I went into a temple and it has beautiful deities of Lord Ram. And I was chanting there. It's on the way of this climb to the source of Mother Ganga. And then I could sense, you know, for a moment the light, more light was there, that a door opened and closed, but I kept on looking toward the altar. Then I saw two men entering. The first man guided the second man. And he brought this, then I started, I did not yet look, but when they were next to me, they were a little bit behind me. And I was chanting, I was just sitting right where the altar is, and they were just right behind me. All of a sudden, I felt something was wet. My hair became wet. Drops of water, so I was thinking maybe I sit wrongly or there's water coming. But then I saw that one of the men was crying, there were tears. When I looked in his face, I could see he was blind. He didn't see anything. But he looked intently towards the altar, which was a mystery for me. He's not seeing anything. So I continued to chant. They left after some time, and I had to go up, and I needed to, up means for 24 kilometers. I had just made a little pause to chant a little in peace, not while walking. So I went, and many things happened. It's not interesting for us at this moment. Then I met up in a cave. We stayed in a cave at Akash Ganga, with some yogis. We chanted kirtan, they cooked halava for us. It was really beautiful, and we slept in the cave. I've never heard anyone snoring so loudly as these yogis. Whoa! It was like being next to the bear, but I enjoyed the experience, you know. How often do you sleep next to a snoring yogi? You know, really, I mean, it was massive. It was like a thunder in the cave. But everyone slept. Only I mean, it was really wonderful for one night, not for two nights. And one of them had been a professor in Calcutta, and I spoke with him, and somehow we started to speak about this little beautiful temple and Ram and Lord Ram. And he said that this elderly man which I saw, which was blind, his name is Ganga Das, and he is most probably the greatest saint in this area. And if I come down the same path, there's only one path to come down, I should go and ask for his blessings. He's originally from the holy town of Krishna's appearance, you know, Vrindavan, but he somehow, for some reason, left Vrindavan, went to the there, and is a great, really one of these great saints who has visions, who can communicate with the divine. So on my way back, I made sure to get into this, and I had gone with a younger yogi, Tamal Bihari, but he could not. He spoke little English. There was a translator there. No, I hadn't brought this translator. He was there. And I asked through the translator if I could ask a question. And Ganga Das agreed. So I sat before him. I asked the question, what did you see what do you see when you go before the altar and have darshan? And he didn't want to speak about it. Then I tried from another angle. I said, I have heard that you were offered eye surgery when you started to become blind, and this surgery would have helped you to not become blind. Why have you decided to not take eye surgery to save your eyelight from blinding? And he smiled. He knew I was not giving up. I just came from another direction. He was very intelligent and perceptive saints. He said, I don't want to see the world. Yes. Very nice, very, yes. I was so as respectful and polite as I could to not intrude someone. But you don't want to see the world, but you seem to go before the altar. What do you see? And no saintly person likes to speak about what is going on for them in their realization. They just don't do this. They are different from the ego people who have read a yoga book and think they are very advanced. He said, and he asked in Hindi the translator, who is asking? And he asked me, and I said, I'm a monk. I became a monk when I was 16 years old. I'm a disciple of, and so on. I introduced myself. And then Ganga Das said to me, these eyes don't see. These eyes see. I want only these eyes which see. I do not want these eyes any longer. What can we see with these eyes? And then he said, I only want to see eyes, I only want to have eyes that see Ram. And then he started to cry. And the translator, motion, time is up. You have asked enough. And I paid my obeisances and continued. Inner vision, very important. In the West, we don't know what is inner vision. It is very powerful, the inner vision. And that's a whole different subject. I give seminars about this, opening the sacred space, but I would like to suggest to go in the exercise. I see you have raised your hand. Is it okay? Because time is there, and if we can just do, if the question is there, you can afterwards come and ask, because we will uphold everyone. So, my dear devotees, my dear friends, my dear everyone, now it's time to sit. Melody. Is it the new? No, it's different. Good. A tonality? I have this and it needs to A sharp. Yeah. I pretend to be very musical. I'm not, but it helps to. I request you now to take an upright position. What you can do is something really nice, a mudra. Take the thumb and put it a little on the top of the index finger and have the fingers straight. This means the truth is over the ego. This is the ego finger. It represents the ego. You do like this. The truth is over the ego. And by this, you conquer the three binding forces or the three gunas of material existence. We will go fast through this, please. Close your eyes when you are ready. And focus on your breathing. Stay with your awareness with each single breath you take. When you breathe in, stay with your mind for the entire length of that breath with the breath. And whenever you breathe out, stay with the mind for the entire length of your exhalation with that breath. Be totally present. Imagine now you're completely by yourself. Let everything around you slowly and gently disappear. For just a brief moment, bring your attention to what is going on in your life, what is going on in your life. And then let it slip away. You are totally by yourself and with yourself. Your relationships with the relatives, friends, gone. Your job or your important responsibilities also gone. Your desires for the future all gone. You're only by yourself. Become aware that in your truest being, you are an eternal spiritual soul, an eternal servant, it is only due to some misfortune that you have been absent from your relationship with the Divine. Bring your attention now to the heart space. It might help you to imagine that you're breathing in to your heart. And when you breathe out, breathe out from your heart. We will now start to sing, and please stay and sing from your heart space. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare time, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare this kirtan, we only do two things. That is, we try to keep our attention in the heart space and try to keep the vibration of the mantra which we sing also in the heart space. That is the first thing. The second thing is, when the mind wanders, as it is apt to do, you just bring it back to the vibration in the heart space. Please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Once again, please, Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. is it? How late is time? One more time, everybody. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Everyone, I thank you very, very much for participating in this particular kirtan. It went well for you, I could see. I twice opened my eyes. I also opened my eyes to see the clock because, and then I saw it's overtime, but I thought, how is it possible? Just only a second ago, we had half an hour time. You know, time starts to move because time is one manifestation of Krishna. So if you go to the other Krishna in the holy name, the time is no longer there. The way it usually moves, that's the explanation. All inconceivable matters happen in kirtan. Let me thank you very much and let me remind you, please, in the evening we have these very, very nice kirtan sessions. You can get an understanding of what is kirtan by doing kirtan. So please, although I know you have lots of things to do, at least for today and tomorrow, it's your marathon, today and tomorrow, please do come because we will have extra emphasis on kirtan in this day. Come also on all the other days, but if you feel you need to pace yourself, today and tomorrow is preferable to come. Good. We went over time. I thank you once again, and tomorrow is also our last session. I promise to be a little bit more on time, to be absolutely on time, German time. And thank you very much. Have a nice Prasadam and see you in the evening. Hari Bol.